Blog Talk Radio.
Outlined against a blue-gray sky, the horsemen ride again. Yes, Grantland see the Irish shine, the time has come to win. In the pole of around the spirit stir, and you feel a shiver when the horsemen herd comes thundering by, and the Irish rise again.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. I know it's been a little bit, and we've been a little here and there, but we are on the air this week and really excited to be here for the last time of our year 2016 before we get our batteries juiced up and ready for the 2016 football season. So we're going to bring you a really good show with a really great guest before we get out of here for the year. But let you know what's going on. As always, Tim Daniel holding it down with my two excellent teammates here, the godfather of the new ND Nation, Mr. Jason Kripe.
What's happening, everybody? Great to be here again. I know we've been a little, like Tim said, we've been a little bit on and off here, but gonna get the batteries recharged, and we're gonna sign off for up until about a few weeks before football season starts. But yeah, glad to be here, guys.
Absolutely, and as always, Mr. Stephen Herring out there holding it down with us in the Boise, Idaho region.
What is up, Irish fans? Good to be back on and closing out the, I don't want to say last of 2016, except in the last of 2015-16 of the academic calendar year for the Fighting Irish, of which it's been another exciting one. I don't know if we're probably not going to have time to recap, but, a Notre Dame Irish team that was top 10, a Fighting Irish basketball team that made the Elite Eight for the second year in a row, something I'm sure we'll touch on later, and just another great year of covering stories and people at this university, and excited to just keep doing it. We're having fun over here, and we hope that those of you that stick around with us are having fun listening.
Yeah, for sure. We've really been killing it now, so we're getting ready to start our sixth football season covering this
team.
It's crazy. 6 years of that.
Wow.
But to let you know what's coming up on today's show, we're going to recap all the news that's been going on, including the coaching changes for basketball, football, a little news out there as far as getting prepped for the 2016-17 season. We're seeing a lot of our guys on some draft boards already for next year, so we're going to talk to you on that. And then for our awesome guests, really excited for this, at about the 30-minute mark of today's show, we're going to be joined by former Notre Dame Fighting Irish basketball and baseball star, current member of the Baltimore Orioles organization, current Portland Trailblazer backing up Damian Lillard, who's a pretty good guard if you haven't heard of him, Pat Connaughton.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking with him about his dual sports career, his foundation called the With Us Foundation, his time at Notre Dame, a whole lot going on today for the show just to catch up on. So, guys, let's get right into the news this week, the big one being in the basketball region. We saw a lot of changes from Mike Bray's staff, but if you know Mike Bray, you know he's never afraid of that. So he brings in a couple of his former guys to join his staff, already confirmed and set in stone. Ryan Humphrey actually announced today he is back on campus working with the program. And then the other one that is everything but confirmed is Ryan Ayers is going to be also joining this staff as well. I know when the changes happened when the two assistants left, the names are slipping my mind, and I just had them a second ago. That's really horrible preparation on my end. I apologize on that. But Bray hopped in and immediately was looking at, what our good buddy Tom Noyes says. He already had a list of his former players he wanted to get on his staff. Humphrey being on there, Ayers was on there, Chris Quinn was on there, and even if you remember, since we've been covering this show, former Notre Dame point guard Eric Atkins was on that list. So I think that Mike Bray's always had the plan, and he said that he knew it was going to come through. So Jason, as a guy who's in the South Bend area, a guy who is a little more up close and personal than Steve and I are with this program, what you see on a consistent basis, have you had any reaction at all as far as these guys coming in, as far as Humphrey and Ayers being back on campus and working for this program? Is it something that people are talking about, something that people seem excited about? And you as a fan, what do you think of it?
Well, as a fan, I think it's a great thing. You bring guys back who have connections with the program. I love the hire. It's great. Now, locally, that is not a topic of conversation around here right now. Nobody, if you bring up Notre Dame, it's football. Nobody wants to talk basketball, which, I'm sorry, I went to my daughter's high school graduation, which was held in the Purcell Pavilion. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor, and I'm just like, you know, taking my time from when I covered games there, and which we will again, of course, and we still do. But yeah, nobody's talking basketball around here right now. It's Indiana Tim. Nobody talks basketball until the fall. So, yeah, it's all football talk. That's all anyone wants to talk about or cares to talk about around here, unfortunately.
Okay. So, I mean, that makes sense. It's, you know, that's how it is for sure. But, yeah, I just didn't know if you saw anything. I mean, so as far as that goes there and bringing the it's cool. I mean, it's a nice little nostalgia thing. I know as far as, like, some of the staff changes. Yeah.
No, I think it's awesome. Humphrey's, I mean, really, the Humphrey hire is great. I mean, we're going to see what happens. But, you know, I mean, you know, he played, like, I think, what, 80 or 90 games in the NBA, something like that, and he got caught up with the injury and couldn't play anymore. But, I mean, great player for Notre Dame. Yeah. And I'm excited about the hire. I'm excited to see what Notre Dame basketball is going to do. But like I said, nobody around here really, anyone that I know is talking about barbecue and football. That's it.
Barbecue and football. Sounds like a place I need to be.
Yes, indeed.
So, Steve, I mean, if not, is this something you've looked at, something you have any interest in or saw there? Have you looked into these hires? Have any thoughts on that at all?
Well, I think my first reaction is very optimistic one thing when it comes to recruiting as a coach and part of the program at the University of Notre Dame is you take a different approach than as a recruit, Nick, or a guy that's working under Calipari or working under Coach K at this point. Or any of these big-name programs where they're chasing down top 40 and 50 kids who are already thinking about the draft the year after. And I think there's a huge advantage when you have former players on your staff who get to detail with experience what the benefits are for playing in Notre Dame, for getting a degree in Notre Dame, the life experiences that are available in Notre Dame that may not be as accessible as some of those other schools. And that's not to say that as a Duke or some of the other, you know, high-end academic institutions, but I like the idea of Humphreys and Ayers going into a family's home and sitting down and saying to a kid that's rated in the 40s all the way up to the 300s and saying, listen, you're going to have a chance to play against the best competition in college basketball every single year, but this is what makes us different. And you're talking to somebody who knows. I'm not saying this as an assistant who's trying to make his way up the ranks and get a big time job someday somewhere else. I'm saying as a guy who played there, as a guy with Humphreys as a first round NBA draft pick, this is how it could possibly be for you, whether you become a potential first round draft pick 10 months from now, or, you know, you're going to have to go out in the rest of the real world like everyone else. So I always think that's a really good aspect for a basketball program and the way that basketball has gone over the last few years, where there's just so many kids that are listening to their recruiters going, I don't care what you got to say. I'm here for 9 months. What happens, happens, and I'm going to the NBA. And you have to have a guy on the staff at Notre Dame who's able to show them why the benefits of coming to South Bend are extremely unique. And former players, from my opinion, and I've never been recruited for basketball, have a major advantage for this program. So that's my take.
Well, and I would agree. I would say that you make a very excellent point, Steve, is that a lot of people, like I said earlier, focus on a lot of Notre Dame fans and, hey, man, take it or leave it. I, you know, love Notre Dame, but most people are strictly focused on Notre Dame football, and they see that, you know, these recruits and the kids that graduate out of Notre Dame and get their degrees and move on to better things in football, they may not see that same point with the basketball team. And honestly, I mean, we're going to have Pat Connaughton on tonight. You know, we've had Jerian Grant on. These guys are making big moves outside of not only with Pat baseball, and basketball and Jerrion with basketball, they're still doing great things. Jerrion Grant had a thing here in South Bend a couple weeks ago. And
I was there.
Or maybe. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, see, exactly. So there are things that, you know, we should all pay attention to in any of our sports, because these kids are really what we've always been focused on, are student athletes, and not only do they do well on the playing field, they do well in the classroom, and that's really something that there's not a lot of schools that can say that. So I just want to kind of point that out to everyone listening.
Hey, and while we're on it, man, it's kind of on the opposite end of this. These additions, I agree with you guys, they're great. They share the great things about Notre Dame. They have you have guys who have been here who can show what the great things about the program. You know, those are some decent losses there for the coaching staff. Not that they can't recover by any stretch of the matter, but especially like losing Martin Inglesby, who, if you talk to any player about their time there, they love the guy. Mike Bray spoke to the moon about the guy. It's the guy that, you know, Tom Noyce said, and guys like Tyler James and our good buddies who have covered the Notre Dame program said that when a day comes Mike Bray's retired, they would be surprised if Inglesby is the first guy that they call to come take that job.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it goes around Notre Dame. I mean, you bring in from within, you bring in former players, and yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, but I don't see Mike Bray going anywhere in the near future. I mean, that guy has got this program locked up tight, and we continue to, you know, we lose a guy like Jerrion Grant. We lose a guy like Pat Connaughton. We're going to lose Demetrius to, you know, he's gone. We fortunately got Zach back. But, yeah, I mean, this is the coach that, in my opinion.
I thought he just did a crap ton of, like, NBA workouts. Like, I know VJ came back, but I think Zach Goggins is gone.
VJ.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
VJ, I'm sorry.
Goggins graduated. He's done. Played 4 years.
Yeah, no, he's gone. I'm sorry, I meant VJ. My bad. But yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was like, man, that's like cool.
No, my bad, guys. I had the wrong guy.
You're
in my
good,
head.
Man. I was.
But yeah.
Good. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm with you. You know, I agree with you. But you know, that's. I think that's, you know, more of they're saying down the road. I don't think they think Bray's gone in the next couple of years by any stretch of the matter. But
no.
Guys, let's kind of touch a bit on football a little bit before we have Pat come on. We'll come back there. So we've kind of talked a little bit about draft boards, and we had this discussion, and next year we're seeing all these quarterbacks that are getting this big love. I mean, Deshaun Watson, people talking obviously way too early is about the potential first pick in the draft next year. All these big boards already come out for the 2017 draft, even though the 2016 draft was 5 weeks ago. And a couple of Notre Dame guys are popped up on these boards pretty early. And I know that Matt Miller, who is the NFL draft scout, if you follow him on Twitter, he's Bleacher Report's head draft writer. He does a lot of awesome work. He's a guy I actually got to talk to at the Notre Dame USC game. And we talked a little bit, and he was talking about his offensive line play and who he thinks he's going to be the best offensive lineman this upcoming draft. And he said that he believes that Mike McGlinchey is going to follow Ronnie Stanley's lead to be a top 10 first-round draft pick next year. He says he's the best. He's going to be the best offensive lineman in the upcoming 2017 draft, as long as he stays healthy through the 2016 year. Yeah, I know. He did say, although it's a weak offensive line class, he says that McGlinchey is the star of the class. And then we're seeing all these quarterbacks discussions there. And NFL.com gave a discussion as far as their top quarterback. It was, I don't remember how they were. It was their top college quarterbacks to transcribe the pros. And they had Deshaun Kizer as 3. On that list.
Wow.
I know. There is this Deshaun Kizer, Malik Zaire battle that I'm sure we're going to discuss throughout the show a little bit too. But just curious your guys' thoughts there, other names you think it could pop up there. I'll tell you mine. I think that this is going to be his third year of playing after his red shirt from his injury his freshman year. I think that Torrey Hunter is going to be a name that's going to pop up on draft boards by the end of this season for sure.
Yeah. He's definitely got the name out there. I mean, he's going to have to show something. And with a lack of Will Fuller in that receiving core, yeah, I mean, he could definitely do some big things. I'd look for Corey Robinson to do something great. But, yeah, wow. the quarterback thing is just, it's way too early to even be talking about that. That's,
I disagree. I think that Deshaun Kizer, I think we're going to be in week one or week two of this upcoming season, and he will be in the top 10 or 15 of all the big guys' draft boards. I mean, look, I saw the list already.
The number one guy on the list
right now is a guy who just transferred, who got beat out in his own school, and he's ranked the number one draft prospect. So it, maybe it's a weak quarterback class too, but I think the Kizer is everything these guys are looking for, and I'm really excited. But another thing I want to add on to this, I'm very surprised by the love McGlinchey is getting. I knew that Ronnie Stanley was a first-round pick when I watched him. I didn't think he was a top 10 pick, and he got some assistance there. I watched Zach Martin, and he was a sophomore, and I was like, this guy's a first-round NFL draft pick. And no one else said it until his senior year, and he was projected late first, early second, decided to come back and finish out his senior year so he could play with his brother, who was a second-round pick this year. But that looked like this is a legit first-round draft pick. I'm surprised that Quentin Nelson isn't getting – I watch him. That's a first-round NFL draft pick at guard. And it's hard to be a guard in the first round. But I think his upside at Quentin Nelson is higher than McGlinchey. So that's my opinion, having watched them week in and week out. Mm. Nelson is an absolute mauler. I mean, that guy, he takes people completely out of the play. And McGlinchey, while he's really big, he's not out there destroying people. And that's it's just interesting. Zach Martin made players disappear. Quentin Nelson makes guys disappear. I'm not seeing that yet. Maybe McGlinchey has just been steadily getting better, and I'm not seeing the strides of these guys who do all the detailed analysis see. But for me, I think Quentin Nelson is going to be maybe a little bit more talked about, maybe even a guy that they want to try and move to center in the NFL. They really do value centers that can maul and move. At this day and age, this current game, the centers and tackles are more valuable. But that's who I think is going to be with there. And then defensively, I'd like to see Andrew Trimbetti make a big step this year and get some hype. I think that he's got a lot of the intangibles, and if he keeps piecing that together, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on some draft boards.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, athletically, we've seen it already in his little bit of time that he jumps out on the screen when he's on the field. Yeah, I think that's a big one for sure. I'm really high on Daniel Cage. I think I have been for a couple of years now, so yep. I'm expecting a lot from him. Maybe not to hop on the draft board. I do think that even though at least two of the three of us, I know we'll probably have the discussion, like we said, I do believe Deshaun Kizer is going to be, you know, the guy running the show next year and has that number one pick look all over him. I do.
Malik.
I could see the potential of Malik Zaire being a is it fair to say Matt Castle type, where he may not start but still get drafted later in the draft and have a chance to start down the stretch? Is that fair?
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know what? I love you guys, but you are not giving Malik Zaire way enough credit. Dude got knocked out two games into the season. I know, but
I'm not knocking his game.
Everyone is on the Deshaun Kizer bandwagon right now, dude. Everyone.
I'm on it.
Why?
Because of my eyes.
What did Malik Zaire
my
do
eyeballs, tell
to
me.
Make you not think he's a great football player? I don't get it.
That's a different question. I didn't say he's not a great player. I never once said that. I believe that Deshaun Kizer is a better player. Has a better ceiling,
right.
He's a better college quarterback, he's a better pro prospect. The ceiling for him is a lot higher. Now, do I say there's a different conversation here? Who has a higher ceiling and who is going to be the better college quarterback in the year 2016? Those are two different questions. I think it's a lot tighter for question B of who's the best quarterback to lead Notre Dame in 2016 versus who has a higher ceiling and who's the best overall prospect at the quarterback position. Because it's real tight.
I understand that.
Notre Dame, and I don't even know if the difference in wins and losses with Kizer and Zaire in the 2016 season is more than one. Either way, I don't know if one guy makes us one win better. I really don't. They could go exactly the same. We could have the exact same record with both guys because so many other things are of much more interest in to see if this team can be successful. They got to get the defensive back in line, and they got to find some guys who can rush the passer. If that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. They're going to give up too many points, period.
I understand that, but you're not giving the dude his fair share, man. It's like...
I think I am.
Okay. No, not really, because all we saw in 2015 was DeShone Kizer.
I mean...
We did not get to see Malik Zaire play up to his ceiling because he, unfortunately, was injured. And I think that kid has a lot more to show. And I'm not knocking Malik. I'm not knocking DeShone. I don't care. It doesn't matter, man. Whoever they put on the field to win, that's who I want on the field. But I think that too many Notre Dame fans have just gone, well, we only saw Malik in like two games and DeShone did this. Fine. You know what that tells me? It tells me that this coaching staff has people ready to go. But I don't think we can just, before the season starts, go, well, DeShone Kizer is going to be the man. I don't think it's fair. I really don't. And
that's what we do on the podcast. I'm
not hitting on one guy or the other.
That's how this goes.
It was what we were here to do. But in no way have I ever attempted to take anything from Malik, but I'm giving it to DeShone in that my opinion of who has the highest ceiling of the two, for me, it's clear. It's very clear. And that's an opinion
I have. You saw more games with DeShone than with Malik as a starter.
Of course.
Would that be fair?
For three, or like technically, I guess, has he started four games? One, two. No, he started three.
Three.
And he got injured in the first quarter of the third.
Third quarter.
So, was it the third quarter? I always felt like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But, that's not as important as just saying, I have an opinion, and I loved Malik for this system, but DeShone just does so many other things that I just don't know if Malik can get there. Again, I don't even know. Again, I really do not 100% believe it even in myself if DeShone has a one or two win better quarterback for the season. I don't think I can make that case. I'm strictly making the case.
Well,
that I
don't think any of us can make that case. But, well, yeah, no, I don't think any of us can make that case. But I hear far too many people say that we'll win more games with DeShone than we will with Malik. And I don't think that's fair.
I'm not saying you're saying it.
I didn't say you said it. I'm saying that's what I'm hearing. And that's my argument. Is that
I
don't think
that
Malik
has
had a big enough body of work to go against him. But, guys, at the end of the day, we are not coaches. We don't get to decide who goes on the field and leads this team. So we'll leave that up to Brian Kelly and the coaching staff, and there it is.
Well, we're not going to stop talking about it.
Never.
It's the biggest, it's the most important and most sought-after topic in Notre Dame football for the next, we're only 3 months away from a game. Are we under 90 days now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say it's 89.
No, 89.
Wow.
No, 90. Yesterday it was 91.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, while we're going ahead and let's go ahead and hop to this guy real quick, guys. So, coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Pat Connaughton, as I mentioned here, a former Notre Dame athlete, played baseball and basketball for the university, has two pro contracts in hand, one with the Portland Trail Blazers, trade by way of the Brooklyn Nets, the other with the Baltimore Orioles in the Major League Baseball in the minor league organization. So he's got an interesting situation there. Pat was a guy I always appreciate from his time at Notre Dame, obviously, and his basketball career was outstanding. A hell of an athlete, first off, so we're going to be able to touch with that on him there. But just a lot of really great games. And I'll always remember how close and how awesome Pat and Jerry played in that Kentucky game and how they should have beat Kentucky and how close they were to beating them and just how outstanding those two were in that game. So really excited for this interview here, and I really can't wait to get a chance to pick his brain for sure.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure to interview Pat Connaughton a couple times in the locker room post-game when I was covering Notre Dame basketball. And I will tell you guys what, Jerry, of course, all of these guys, they're just class. But the one thing I'll remember about Pat is there was a basketball game that I was covering, and he just made this leap. I mean, he went way up in the air. Wow, it just totally blocked this guy for a three-pointer, and they called a foul on him. And then after the game, we're in the locker room, you know, in the press room. I was like, man, Pat, that was all ball. I know you can't say anything,
oh, yeah.
but that was all ball. And he just looked at me. He knew it was all ball. It's like, dude, really? It was fun. We had that on the show, actually. We had that clip.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah,
that's
a good guess.
One I'm looking forward to for sure. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to give him the call here real quick. So while we're doing that, guys, kind of what can we touch on here real quick? So, hey, guys, there it is. It's the season finale. We're getting ready to go on. You guys are dads, so you guys have some big stuff coming up this summer, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Little League baseball, cheerleading, work, yeah, tons of stuff. Steve, I wish you the best of luck, man. I hope your son doesn't join like a traveling soccer league or something, because that's insane.
Yeah, no, my son is not walking yet. He's whipping around the house in a walker and crawls very quickly. But my concerns of any traveling athletic adventures is minimal, and I'm just very happy that we did a 1500 mile road trip last week, and he slept 85-90% of the time and was incredibly chill. And I hear of all these poor dads and these poor families with these kids who don't sleep at night. My kid sleeps all night. I hear about them talking about all this. They travel and the kid screams the whole time. My kid is so chill. He's all the chill. And so it's been
pretty
chill. You're
knocking on wood right now, right?
I'm 9 months in.
You're
down.
9 months in.
Yeah, he's going to sleep all night forever.
That's not going to happen.
We're good. I'm sure if we have another one, it will not be the same. But, you know, this summer is definitely focused on getting him to learn how to walk. We were trying to teach him that when we say touchdown, he throws his hand straight up in the air. That's been
awesome.
A focus. hopefully he can
You got total dad props. Touchdown, hands in the air, boom. Good job.
Yeah. So we're going to hopefully get
101,
him to say go
folks.
Irish. Yeah, I would like to see him say go Irish by the time football season, but, you know, he has to say words first. Any words.
Yeah, you know what? When my kids were growing up, if they would have said go Irish before they said dad, I would have been okay with that.
I'll be all right with that. I think the first words we're all assuming is going to be our dog's name because we say it so much. I assume he's going to say Tunny before he says anything.
Yeah, what is your dog's name?
His name is actually Tunnicliffe, but we call him Tunny.
Tunnicliffe.
For those of you listening, I have a 170-pound Great Dane. True story, yesterday, my Great Dane I was fixing my fence on the side of my house, and he sprinted past me when a guy went jogging by with a couple labs, and I went running after him, not realizing I was still holding a power drill, and I had to power slam my 170-pound dog into the pavement holding a power drill in front of my house because he was going crazy and trying to play with these dogs who did not want to be played with, and it was quite a scene.
Do you still have any... Do you still have any college eligibility left, NCAA?
Me, no. Now, once you start playing college athletics, you have 5 years to play for, and I played 3 years of full football, and I did also 2 years of competing in track and field. And,
I figured if you had 1 year left, you could play for the Irish as a preferred walk-on, you know. Just maybe match someone here and there.
Graduate student preferred walk-on. I promise you when I wake up and I can't walk for the first couple minutes because my ankles and feet are so sore, I'm not quite ready for, top 10 Fighting Irish football. And I wasn't ready when I was 21, let alone 34.
Yeah, I think I think we need to get you into the Notre Dame fantasy camp, and you can do a full week report on the show about
that.
No
way. Let me listen to me. I will never do one of those fantasy camps. I played football. I played college football. I wore the pads in the heat. I got yelled at by coaches. No fantasy camps for me. I will never do CrossFit. I'm not paying someone to yell at me and lift heavy things over my head. Those days for me are done. I do insanity
in
my garage.
Yeah, I know my fiance yells at me all the time. I get it.
Yeah, no weights.
I don't have
to pay
anyone to yell at me.
Yeah, no weights. Your fiance is already yelling at you, man. You guys just started. You just got together, baby. She can't be yelling at you already.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. So have you
I mean, I've been married. I'm married. I get yelled at plenty. Apparently Tim's having some issues getting Pat on the line. You know, maybe review a couple things with, you know, honestly, you could really list him as one of the greatest players in the history of Notre Dame's men basketball. He was the only captain on last year's team on the 2014-2015 team that made the Elite Eight, less than a foot away from taking down Kentucky. 120 consecutive starts, and I want to give credit where it's due. I'm up on UND.com's page for him where I'm reviewing some of the things. You know, fifth all time in 3-point field goals made, grabbed 10 plus rebounds 20 times, 16 career double doubles, career average 10.5 points, 5.9 rebounds a game, 16th on the school's all time scoring, and 8th on the all time rebounding list. He was a 2-time captain, one of only 22 players in the history of Fighting Irish basketball to be a 2-time captain. Just, I mean, if you want to look back, I remember, this is how long we've been doing the show. Do you remember the first time we mentioned freshman, Pat Connaughton, and we had to spend like 3 minutes to try and make sure we were pronouncing his name correctly? That seems like last week.
It does.
6 years ago.
It really does.
It was 6 years ago.
Wow. I know. And you know what? The thing about him is I think he now has, I might be wrong, he either has the second or third highest standing vertical jump in the combine.
Crazy.
NBA. And I think Demetrius might be in either one of those two are in second and third or second and third, depending on whom. But, yeah. It's like, wow, really? So, heck, throw down. And he was guys, really, great interview. Every time he was in the locker room, he was just very fantastic to be around.
Yeah. So I did just get a text from Pat. He's just running a little behind, so we are going to have him here by about 10, 15 minutes or so. But so we don't have to worry. We will still have Mr. Connaughton on. It's just going to take a little later than the 30-minute mark like we thought it was.
That's okay.
But at least we got the text message, right? We've had that before.
Right.
So, with that being said, let's talk a little bit here. Something you guys mentioned, as far as, like, Pat and the great things he did with the university. I think, Jason, he might actually have the highest. Let me see. Let me do some research here.
Yeah, look at that.
Have a graphic on that. They're going to put a graphic on that after Demetrius.
I think Jerian got him. But Pat was second. I don't think he had the first highest.
Hold on. What do you guys think of the NBA Finals right now? Isn't it terrible?
I have not watched one game of the NBA Finals.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
God.
I'll say this. Listen, I've been able to watch parts of both games, not the entire thing. What are you going to do when players, four through 10 for Golden State are on just another level by comparison to everything after the top three for the Cavs? Now we see Kevin Love is out tonight, so it's going to be Kyrie, who's not playing defense and shooting a terrible field goal percentage. And it really does almost feel like it's just LeBron versus the Golden State Warriors. And Harrison Barnes would be starting on 4 out of 5 teams in the NBA. Sean Livingston, obviously game one, throws it together and looks like an all-star out there, and nobody on the Cavs can cover him. Draymond Green is a beast. He does so many things uniquely well. Yeah, that's a special team. We're watching greatness when we watch the the Golden State Warriors. And I got to tell a little story. So last week I was down in Northern California in the Bay Area to visit my family, and my nephew, who's seven, he was playing in the championship game of his local rec league basketball teams, six, seven, eight-year-olds. And again, we're only a couple miles from where Golden State plays. I'm in Golden State Warriors territory. Thrilling game. The final was 8-4 in four quarters. lots of missed shots, but every time a shot was made, the player in the game who made that shot did one of Steph Curry's signature moves. Either the threes on the chest, the shake where he drops his arms and he shakes his chest and arms back and forth. Half the kids were wearing Under Armour basketball sneakers. If that's not telling, I don't know what is. And I was just dying, man. It was cracking me up. I mean, again, there were six shots made in the entire game. Six times a player shot the ball and made it. And every one of them, they did a Steph Curry thing. It was unbelievable. And I think he's doing wonders for Under Armour. And now we're Notre Dame is Team Under Armour. Now UCLA is Team Under Armour. It's all good for us, I think. And I think that Under Armour, with the Steph Curry licensing and the partnership there, I've heard complaints in the past from other programs. I've never heard it from a Notre Dame player that the Under Armour basketball sneakers were moderately inferior while they were trying to figure out, because they haven't been making basketball sneakers forever. They're new to that market. I do think that's an interesting thing and good for Notre Dame to know that their basketball sneaker game is on the way up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think Under Armour is definitely taking over there for sure, and the Currys are doing a huge thing for that. Okay, so I do have it here. So the all-time combine verts, Pat Connaughton is tied for second with Case Felder and Shane Larkin at 44 inches. Demetrius Jackson is right underneath that at 43.5. So to summarize that, they can jump almost 4 feet in the air. Is that right? Is that mathematically right?
Well, 48 inches would be 4 feet. So they're close.
Yeah. So that's impressive.
Incredibly impressive.
Yeah. I cannot do that if that summarizes anything, right?
I think my vertical is like 6.5 feet. Maybe.
6.5 feet?
No, I mean my total height.
Jump over Pat Connaughton,
like 5 inches. No, I'm saying I can jump like 5 inches.
I'm telling
you. So you're 6 foot and you can jump
okay,
five.
Okay, so 7 inches, whatever. Who's counting? No, I cannot jump that high.
Oh, you're listing how high of a mark you can touch on a wall.
Yeah.
That's not how you measure a vertical jump. That would mean that Pat Connaughton. I'm trying to do the math now. Pat Connaughton's vert is 10 feet 9 inches.
Yes.
I'm very
confused.
I can
touch the bottom of a rim on a basketball hoop that is lower down to 8 feet, basically.
Oh my God. Is this a math problem? Are we thinking the SAT? If Jason is on a 10-foot rim, and he lowers it 2 feet, and he can jump up in the air and touch the bottom of the rim, and his wingspan is 6'3", how many inches does Jason jump?
4.
All of the inches.
Oh, man. I'm confused. I'm very confused.
Yeah, it's not that – it's really – yeah. Thank you, Tim. I don't think Steve is quite getting it down. He's not picking up what we are putting up. Yeah, anyway, don't we have a guest?
Yeah, I got to wait a little bit to call him just because he's out of cahoots at the moment. So we'll be just a couple minutes here. Let's just touch on what else do we have assigned?
Well, there's one more thing I want to – Notre Dame football staff added a former All-American too, and I think that's a big deal. Bringing Jeff Burris into the fold this year. Was he a defensive analyst, correct?
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
I mean, You talk about one of the favorite players of people that watch those early 90s teams. Jeff Burris was locked down, shut out, hard-hitting. He embodied those early 90s teams. Jason, you remember more than me. How much did we love Jeff Burris in the early 90s? Oh, my God.
Come on. This dude was a monster. Jerome Bettis. I mean, we had guys going way back. But, I mean, in this generation, we still do. You know, like Manti and Jalen. And, you know, I mean, there's guys that are memorable. But you look back 20, 30, 40 years, there were guys that were just Dick Crable. I dare anyone to tell me his numbers. Because no one will ever put up the numbers that Crable did. Ever.
Yeah, but I think this is interesting, back to some of the points of talking, like when in the modern recruiting age, when you have a guy that's recruiting for his own alma mater and how that can be a unique advantage. Now the Irish staff includes Burris now, Todd Light, Autry Denson, Ron Paulus, and David Grimes. That is a lot of former players on one single staff. And again, three of them aren't actually coaching technically. Technically, Ron Paulus, Grimes, and Burris are all going to be, you know, out of the program assistants, which, man, it seems like they're adding more and more of these guys, which, from my understanding, they're not there actually coaching on the field, which allows them to be available to them the rest of the entire day and week and month and year if they're not actually at practice coaching them up. So obviously Grimes is there in the strength conditioning program. Palace can be doing stuff with the quarterbacks as well as player development and all these other things, and Burris will be doing whatever he's doing. But certainly it's a unique touch to the program, and I think it speaks volumes to you know, how much these guys value their alma mater. I think it's awesome.
I agree. Definitely a cool thing.
Yeah, again, another All-American first-round draft pick. He was a stud in the NFL, too, Pro Bowler. I don't know if he won a Super Bowl. I'm guessing it would have been listed here. But he has been working for the Dolphins for the last few years. And it was over at UMass under Charlie Molnar, from the former Notre Dame coordinator. But I didn't even remember this. Burris was Notre Dame's team MVP in 93.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you look at, like, the quarterbacks he played with in his NFL career, like, on his team, it's kind of cool, actually. So he had Jim Kelly, Peyton Manning, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, I mean, still a pretty solid NFL quarterback, Carson Palmer.
That's right. He went to the Bengals.
Yeah. I actually – do you remember when I ran Tim Talks Everything? You remember that show I had for, like, a hot minute? Yeah, I had –
I had one, too.
Ever. Yeah,
you and
Jeff
Burris
was the first guest. I did, man.
You should have had a Chicago Cubs show. You're doing well right now.
Well, yeah, the first time in 108 years you can brag.
Whatever. Jake Arrieta, Cy Young.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and try to get Pat another call real quick. Why am I echoing? Hold on.
I feel like, Jason, you and I could talk all day about that 93 team. Oof, that team was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun.
Well, what we got you on, I mean, what is – okay, outside of talking about the quarterbacks, if there's anything that we haven't discussed on today's show that's a hot-button topic about Irish football in the Bend right now, what's hot in northern Indiana outside of the weather?
Man, really nothing. Obviously, quarterback talk is the talk all the time. I mean, that's never going to go away around here. That's just kind of how it is. Defense has been a little bit of a question. Some people have asked me, hey, what do you think the D's going to do this year? And I don't think that we're in any kind of trouble there. But one thing I will tell people is, you know what? We've probably got a really good punt return team this year. And we've got a very good kicker on, punt kick, So we've got some special teams going on that I don't think we've really had in this combination in the past, what, 5 to 7 years? We got a C.J. Sanders who can run a punt back. We know that, or run a kickoff mm-hmm. back. We've got a punter who can, when he's on, he can drop that ball at the two and bring mm-hmm. it back to the five. I mean, it's like a golf shot. It's wonderful to watch. So, yeah, I think special teams is really something people need to look at.
We've definitely been spoiled. We're going on what would be our 6th year in a row with an elite level kicker because Kyle Brinza was fantastic in South Bend.
Yeah,
really everything he did was well. But you're right, from an entire three pronged if you counted, kicker, punter, kick returner. I don't remember the last time we had all three where we're thinking that we have a really quality option here. I'm trying to think back. I mean, the best kick returner we've had in the last 10 years. All right, we got our guest on.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and welcome on the show here, former Notre Dame basketball player and pitcher, current Portland Trailblazer and corner member of the Baltimore Orioles, one of our Notre Dame all-time favorites, Mr. Pat Connaughton. Pat, thanks again for joining us, man. Really excited to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So really excited, like I said, really glad to have you here. Glad we got it all worked out for you. So obviously we're really excited to talk about the With Us Foundation, but I hope you don't mind. I know we have a lot of Notre Dame questions while we have you on, if that's all right as well.
Of course. Ask away.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and welcome in here. We have Pat Connaughton, like we said there. So, Pat, I want to go back and talk about your time there at Notre Dame basketball for a little bit, obviously. I think we got to start with what might be a hard game to talk about, but one of the best games to talk about. That is unfortunate. Your last game at Notre Dame, you guys had the game with Kentucky, where you almost take down the almighty 37-0 Wildcats. A foot away from winning that game, one of the best games in tournament history I remember in a long time. You guys had a 10-point lead at one point. It was just an unbelievable back-and-forth game with five or six NBA draft picks on that team. What do you remember about that game? Is that game that you look back on, you say you guys gave it your best shot, or is that a game you look back on and say, damn, we could have won that one?
I think we definitely look back on it and say we could have won it. I mean, if you look at the situation as a whole, we had control of the game for the majority, if not 9/10 of the game. We probably led for about 38 out of the 40 minutes. So it's one that, I mean, that's what sports are. You want to be leading when the buzzer goes off. You don't want to be leading for 39 minutes and 59 seconds. So, it's something that it hurts, but at the same time, it was a phenomenal game to be a part of. It was something that, none of us on that team will forget, and it'll be one that we always, kind of feel like got away. But at the end of the day, we put ourselves in a position to win the game, and I think, 8-9 times out of 10, that team that we had, finishes that game.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about that team you were on there and how special you guys really were, what you started there, and especially making that transition to ACC with Mike Bray and his team, you and Jerry, and being huge standing points for that program. What they are now, ACC championships, Elite Eights. Seems like for a little while there, you guys have had Duke's number, and it started with your team there. So how have you felt with this transition with the ACC, what you guys started and what they're turning into in this process?
I think it was phenomenal. Obviously, I'm a little biased to the old Big East, strictly just because it was the Madison Square Garden tournament, and growing up watching that league, and that league was the premier league in my opinion. However, half the Big East teams went over to the ACC, so it makes the ACC the absolute premier league, again, in my opinion. So it was great to be able to, kind of double dip. I played 2 years in the Big East, then 2 years in the ACC. I got to go to all the venues. I got to play against, the best of the best. And I think our team, as we went into it junior and senior year, we did a good job adjusting. Obviously, we started a little bit junior year, but senior year we made it a point, Jaron and myself especially, to not just turn it around for our team, but turn it around for the program as a whole, and really, start making pushes in the postseason. We've always been a phenomenal regular season program, but at the end of the day, March Madness and conference tournaments are, what you play for.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. So last thing before I know Jason wants to bring up, because Jason's going to be talking a little bit about the With Us Foundation. Kind of talk about this past year. You had a hell of a year in Portland. You guys made the playoffs. Ran into the monster that is the Golden State Warriors that we're seeing right now. So talk about your rookie year in the NBA, how much fun it was for you, what you look forward to in the future. Also, how awesome it is to be able to play with someone as unbelievably talented as Damian Lillard.
My rookie year was, it was great. For me personally, I needed a year like this to get, get myself ready for this level. I think, I was able to tough out a little bit of a power forward role back in college. And at this level, I'm going to be a shooting guard. I'm going to be a guard that needs to be able to handle the ball. And to go up and practice every single day against Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and guys like that, and learn from them, but also grow from them and compete against them, really helped me to get ready for this upcoming season. And then, you mentioned Dame. He's as good of a guy as he is as a basketball player, and that's something that you don't necessarily find a lot. And, he's done a lot for this franchise, and he will continue to do a lot for this franchise, no matter how many people seem to doubt him along the way.
Well, Pat, it's Jason Fripe here, and let's go ahead and talk about the With Us Foundation. Kind of give us a little bit. I mean, we all know about it, but tell the people listening what the With Us Foundation is all about.
I'll kind of start with it from, my point of view. So it came into fruition just because I've been fortunate enough in my life to have a lot of support. I think there's, a bunch of people that I've seen on social media, the pictures that I take after games when they're in Boston, whether it was versus D.C., whether it was, in other New England areas such as Providence or UConn, or whether it was at the Boston Garden this past year. After every game in those areas, I take a picture because of all the support that I've gained from friends and family I grew up with. And, those people mean the world to me and have helped get me to where I am. And so when I was looking back on it, I wanted to find a way to really use the platform that they've supported me to get to give back in the best way possible. And when I looked at it, the idea, the name With Us, it's kind of all inclusive. It's that family type feel, that I felt with not just my family, but my friends and coaches and mentors and teachers and people that I grew up around that, were always looking out for my best interests. So that's where the name came from. And, our goal is to, really provide a positive experiences for, kids that need it most. We got the areas of personal development, education, and medical research, because I believe those are three big areas in today's day and age. However, we get specific, under those areas. Those are just kind of the pillars in which we build on top of. And the goal is to really make sure that we can gain, the support of a lot of people, because of one thing I found is in this profession, there are a lot of people that do want to do the right thing and give back, but it takes a lot of time to do it. So you need somebody, and I found it as myself to put together a program, or in this case, a foundation that will do that and gather people along the way.
Yeah, and before I pass you on to Steve, just if there's ever anything that the New Indy Nation family can do, because that's what we're all about, is giving back. Anytime you need to get on the show, or need us to promote something that you're doing, let us know. We'll be happy to do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I mean, at the moment, I'm going to try to do my best to, get updates through the social media outlets, the With Us _5 on both Twitter and Instagram, and the website withusfoundation.com. And I know hopefully we can we'll be sitting on this show here in a year or so, and we'll be talking about all the success that it started to have.
Well, yeah, we definitely look forward to that. Remind listeners, we are so thrilled to be joined here on Down the Line on TNN Indiana by Pat Connaughton, current guard for the Portland Trailblazers, former Fighting Irish star in baseball and basketball. You can also get more information on the With Us Foundation via his Twitter feed with a nice blue check next to it, Planet Pat 5. At Planet Pat 5. Pat, wanted to ask you, you know, an interesting profile of you in the New York Times, and the very unique situation that you face as one of these two sport athletes who actually is good enough to play professionally in two different sports. But your contract with the Trailblazers does prevent you from playing for the Orioles or any other Major League Baseball team for the first 2 years. You know, kind of tell everyone how it's been trying to maybe stay in baseball shape, keep your arm fresh. Everyone knows out there that you're a pitcher. Just, you know, how are you getting prepared if you get that chance to go to the MLB at some point in the future?
You know, I think one thing that I've benefited from is these are two sports that, you know, I've played my entire life. So when people, you know, worry about my ability to succeed in both, you know, it's something I've literally done for 23 years. So I think it doesn't even take much thought. You know, some guys, you know, when they're done working out for the day or when they've, you know, when practice is over, because we don't practice for 12 hours a day in the NBA. So when practice is over, they go home, they take naps, they watch movies, they do whatever they do. I mean, a lot of Dame has his rap, you know, a lot of singing, a lot of people do different stuff. It's what builds the whole person. It's, now, we're not just basketball players, we're people as well. And so for me, I got plenty of time during the day to do what I need to do and do what I see fit, you know, to make sure it doesn't hinder my basketball ability, but also to make sure that I progress as, you know, an athlete overall.
Yes, it was, again, nice little profile in the New York Times. You can catch up with him on WNDU. Been doing some interviews lately as you prepare for the With Us Foundation coming up launch and the camp and everything, so make sure everyone checks that out. So very exciting. But one thing I do like to do is maybe step back in time a little bit. You're coming out of Massachusetts. You're trying to decide where you're going to go as a high school senior to play basketball and baseball, and you ultimately choose Notre Dame. Tell us a little bit about why you chose South Bend, what made sense for you in both those programs, and why you wanted to spend 4 years there.
You guys think it worked out all right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you know, when I was back in high school, I wanted to make sure my family, my parents, my friends, they did a great job of, you know, developing me as a whole person. And I was always the athlete. I wanted to be an athlete. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional athlete since as long as I can remember. But they did a great job of, you know, making me understand that there's more than just athletics in the world, and you got to figure out a way to, you know, how you want yourself to be perceived, how you want your personal brand to be perceived, how you want to develop the whole Pat Connaughton. And for me, when I went to Notre Dame, it spoke for itself. You know, the two coaching staff, the basketball and the baseball coaching staffs, you know, they were working together before I even got on campus to make sure that they would find a way that I'd be able to not just do both, but succeed in both. And I can't thank them enough. And that was something that was obviously a major factor in my decision. But then you look at Notre Dame as a whole, look at the academic side of it. I graduated from the business school, so I wanted to make sure I was well-rounded in that area. And then you look at the people you meet. I mean, A, you meet friends for life, but, you know, B, you make connections throughout the entire world just because you're part of that Irish family. So it's something that – and then Coach Prey always likes to say, you know, my name, Patrick Connaughton, you know, it's an Irish name, so there wasn't any better fit. So it just kind of all came together. And, you know, like I kind of joked about at the beginning of this, I think it worked out pretty well. You know, I was fortunate enough to graduate, fortunate enough to do well in school, make, you know, a bunch of friends and a bunch of, you know, friends for life. And, you know, coming out of there drafted in two sports doesn't hurt, you know, as well.
Yeah, and yeah, you definitely caught me off guard. I'm not used to being asked questions when we got the guest on. So to confirm my response, yes, we are all in very much accord with the belief that you made the right choice and it worked out incredibly well for the fans and for your fellow teammates and everyone that follows you. And I wanted to ask one follow-up question before I pass back to Tim to let you get out of here. We were talking today, Notre Dame just announced Ryan Humphries joining the staff. Apparently there may be another former Irish player joining Coach Bray's staff, as well as all the former football players are now on the football staff. Tell us if you think that there's a huge advantage for having former players that are recruiting out there talking to high school athletes when they actually played at the school they're recruiting for. Do you see that as an advantage, and is that something you actually saw in the process that had any, you know, change in your own opinion of how, where to go?
I do think it's an advantage. I think an argument can be made for everything. So some people are going to say you need to look outside your school, and some people are going to say it's perfect. So, I mean, an argument can be made for anything, but in my opinion, someone that knows the system, someone that went through it, someone that lived the life that a potential student athlete is going to live if they choose to go to Notre Dame, it really gives them an inside track from the jump. And that's something that I don't think has a value. I think it's priceless in a sense because, look at Ryan Humphrey. He was a first-round pick. He played at Notre Dame, and he got to the NBA. And how many of the athletes that go to college want to become a professional athlete? Probably the majority. So learning from somebody and being recruited by somebody who's done it, it gives that high schooler, a vision into their future and a belief that, they probably always believed that they could do it. That's why they got to the Division I level or got a potential scholarship from Notre Dame. However, a belief isn't really something that will take you there if you don't have the means of transportation. And that's what I think, a guy on the coaching staff like that can do.
Do we go? We good?
Yeah, Tim, why don't you get him out of here? He's giving us a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, well, hey, Pat, man, like I said, thanks again for taking the time to join us. Really glad we got it worked out for you. Before we let you go here, let's give you we like to give our guests a chance to kind of shout out their foundations, their Twitter accounts, so people can keep up with what they're doing. So we want to go ahead and make sure the floor is all yours before you get out of here, man.
Appreciate that. I think for me, I try to make sure I represent the Notre Dame community the best I can. So, if you want to follow me, if you want to follow what I'm doing, all my social media handle for me personally is PlanetPat5. My website's patconnaughton.com. And then for the foundation that I'd love to, have the support spread and, as the campaigns and the launch parties and things like that come about, especially in the South Bend area during this coming football season, you can find out all that information where all that social media is withus_5, and that website is withusfoundation.com. So pretty self-explanatory stuff when it comes to the websites. And hopefully, you enjoy the ride that you follow.
For sure. Hey, Pat, thanks again, man. And I know we're all wishing you best of luck in the world of the dual sport athlete, and we look forward to, hopefully, like I said, next year come the summertime. We talk about the With Us Foundation, and maybe the Blazers got a championship at that point, right?
Hey, you never know what can happen. Maybe the Blazers got a championship. Maybe the Orioles are working on their way to a World Series.
Sounds good, man. Thanks again, Pat.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, guys, and that was our time with Pat Connaughton.
That was fun.
Here, so that was
caught
really
me
good.
Off guard, man. He caught me off guard. A question. Yeah. I honestly, we've had so many different audio issues on the thing. I at first was like, oh, shit, my mic's gone off, or he didn't hear the question, or his phone service has gone out. And it's like it took me a good three or four seconds to process that he was shooting back at me like, hey, what do you think? It was a pretty good choice, right? Like, come on, guy. Get over here. I'm trying to figure out my decision-making. I made the right choice. Just give me that break. It goes,
Yeah,
that was
that
awesome.
Was pretty badass. Yeah,
that was. So, guys, I think with that being said, I think we can go ahead and close up this season of Down the Line on the TNNDN Network, unless you guys have anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here.
No, hey, guys, just make sure you follow us at TNNDN on Twitter, at New Indie Nation on Facebook, and you can follow, well, you guys can give your own addresses. I'm at Rabbit Irish Fan on Twitter, so.
If anyone cares for my nerdiness, yeah. If anyone cares for my nerdiness and Ghostbusters gifts I've had all day, I guess at TimDaniel24.
And I'm still at ManCaveQB. Everyone have a great summer. I'm super pumped to be a dad of the summertime. Throw my kid in the kiddie pool and you know, do all that crazy stuff. So enjoy it. Don't get too caught up in the quarterback talk. It's gonna take care of itself. But we'll be here back here to do it probably first week of August. When that Fighting Irish football camp kicks off. But, hey, enjoy the summer, and then let the fall come to you.
Yes, indeed.
There
everyone, enjoy yourselves, and go Irish.
Go Irish.
Go Irish.
Outlined against a blue-gray sky, the horsemen ride again. Yes, Grantland, see the Irish shine, the time has come to win. In the polo ground, the spirits stir, and you feel a shiver when the horseman herd comes thundering by, and the Irish rise again.